are now tuned in to the British Millennials.
So, Blake, I have a question for you, our guest glitch homie. When was the first time you realized that as far as your goals go, that people weren't out to see you win? Like, people were kind of, like, against you?
I feel like very early on, I knew I was on an individual and unique path. So I've always kind of been one to pave my own way, whether people were for me or against me. I was going to go to where I felt like I need to go with my life regardless. But I didn't really kind of sink into my path, you would say, until high school. I think high school was when I realized that, you know, the rose-colored glasses are coming off and everybody, A, is not for you, and B, the people that smile on your face aren't always the people who, you know, are actually for you. So yeah, high school clarity was, a new clarity was gained for sure.
I feel that high school was a game changer for like most of us. And Shannon, what about you? Like, when was the first time you realized that people might have been against you in terms of your goals in life?
Well, I would say that I don't know if I thought people were against me, but what I did think was that talent was really all you needed to get to a certain place in life. And I think that I found out once I got out of my small high school bubble and out of the bubble of Atlanta, which is a Black Mecca, I realized that my skin color played a big factor on how people digested me, what people thought was appropriate for me to be doing, what level people thought I should be on, how people thought I should be acting. So I really realized that there were a lot more factors than just talent. And once I figured out that, there was a lot of observation that took place on how people treat talented people, how people treat people of color, and how people treat talented Black women who are multifaceted. A lot of the energy that I feel at times and have felt is, how dare she be so talented? How dare she be so confident? So that's something that I'm still dealing with to this day. And as an artist and creator, I've had to become more comfortable with the creation process and creating as an artist, as opposed to really harping on what the response would be for my art. So it's definitely changed over the years, I would say. But that's a loaded question for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, for those of you who's been living under a rock, we got Passport Poppy back in the building for another very special episode. Like, shout out to Blake for being back with us. Yes, yes, yes.
Hey. And Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And with the New Year, that kind of like was why I really wanted to kind of bring this topic up, because I know that everybody's kind of in that mood of just wanting to move forward, start fresh, really drive into their goals and stuff like that. And I've come to realize that the world is not necessarily made for everybody to thrive. And that's a hard reality for us to like sit with, but yeah, I wanted to ask you both, like, as creative entrepreneurs, like, when did you have that moment with yourself? Like, oh, I'm different. I'm going to lead a different life or live a different path or anything like that. Like, I'm actually the shit and I'm going to pursue it. You know, when did y'all have that? Like, Shannon, when did you realize that you was that bitch?
Well, I think that because I grew up being that bitch, it really was more, like I said, the response of the world to me being that bitch. And I think that for a while that kind of knocked me off of the pedestal that I put myself on for the talent that I had. I think that the world definitely knocked me off that pedestal and it was like, okay, you're talented, but there's so many other obstacles in getting people to receive, accept, acknowledge even your talent. Because sometimes I feel like as a dark-skinned woman in the entertainment industry, and a lot of people feel this way about Kelly Rowland, and you know, it's that's why it's such a big deal when SZA gets her credit and different things like that, because it's definitely been a little bit harder for women of darker skin to even be acknowledged, and it feels like we have to work that much harder. So after college and after I got through all the things that my parents wanted me to do, I realized that this talent is still here and I need to do something with it. So I was about 23 No, I'm sorry. I was about 26 when I decided I'm quitting everything else and I'm pursuing dance, I'm pursuing entertainment. And I've never looked back. It's the best decision, though the hardest decision. And I see why a lot of people don't make that decision. But I found my way, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to do that, just because it's kept me young. It's kept me happy. People are always like, you look like you're 23. That's because I do something I love. So it has its payoffs, but there are obviously dark moments. But for yeah, sure. I was about 26.
Okay. For me, I would say it had to have been like 12th grade for me, when I was like really interested in like this idea of being an advice columnist. And I was like in my high school, I didn't charge, but I was like in my high school, I think I told y'all before, but I was in high school just kind of like giving people relationship advice and helping people with their teenage relationships, like actually sitting couples down and having like my own little form of couples counseling at people's houses. Oh my God. And I had like a little, it was kind of like a baby website when I first started. Google? They used to have like this groups. It used to be like Google Groups or something. It was like its own little private groups type thing, almost like how we have Band. And I like, this is so embarrassing. So cringy. So I put it together and I would like send it to like different, it started like getting to like different people in the school and stuff like that. And people would like write in asking questions and stuff like that. It was cool. But I say 12th grade because that's the time we had to apply for colleges. And I had no idea like what type of major would feed my passion. I just didn't see the career out there. So I tried to start forcing it into a box of this and a box of that. But that's when I kind of realized like, I don't think the box that I'm supposed to be in is created yet. Like whatever I'm supposed to do, it just hasn't, I haven't seen it done. So that's when I realized it. What about you, Passport?
Ah, man, both of your stories speak to me and in very specific ways. I feel like for the longest that I could remember, I always knew that I was different. And I also knew what I wanted to do. I knew what my passions were. And I was not going to be deterred. And I made up my mind at a very young age, very early on, that I was going to do it regardless of what my parents said or what friends said. I was going to pursue my unique individual path and see it through. And it's come with its own obstacles and uphills, like Shannon said, but the joy of life is in the doing. And I couldn't see myself doing anything other than what I am doing now, and I want to continue to do more of it. And I think I'm also, I had a recent conversation just with Shannon. You know, we were just kind of talking, you know, the new year's upon us and we're all going in different directions. And I realized that, you know, now it's time to try new things, see yourself differently. I too had put myself in a box, create a box, and didn't even know really how to fit into it myself. But that's because I don't think we're meant to be in boxes. I think that's where the problem was from the start. But sorry, y'all. I went on a little tangent. But I feel like it all worked out the way that it was supposed to. And I wouldn't change a thing.
That's dope. Like, something that's so unique about our generation is that we were kind of like born into the world with the expectation that we were going to be perfect people or perfect humans based off of this set criteria of how to raise the perfect child. And
the expectation,
it was our parents. And I don't blame them, because what they thought that they were doing was adequately preparing us for life by setting us up and maybe misplacing some of their dreams on us. Because I know, like, for my parents, for instance, they grew up in Jim Crow South. So a lot of the things that my mom had me doing were simply because she didn't get the opportunity to do them. So she just wanted me to try everything once. But at the same time, it crippled us in a way. So
I sometimes, like, I feel like it took me a while to kind of battle with the idea of, like, what my mother would have had planned for me versus what I'm actually doing at the ripe old age of 35. How did we get here? The disrespect for me. But I do, like, I think
35 where
period. Right. I think that, like, this year, like, it was the first time that I kind of, like, accepted, like, yo, like, I have a different destiny, like, I have a different path. And I think that sometimes, like, our parents, because they haven't seen it, like, they haven't, if you haven't seen a person fly, you don't believe people can fly. And so if it's in my destiny to fly, it's going to be hard for you to understand how that's valuable, how I'm going to make that work, how I'm even going to achieve that. But I realized, like, yeah, it was in my destiny to fly. And it wasn't until, like, for the organization that I started, like, I was talking to someone, I was like, yo, like, this is a global brand. And I just still haven't sat with that. And I'm like, oh, I'm about to plan, like, our first in-person retreat. Like, this is crazy. But these are things that, as much as, like, our parents may have wanted for us, the world that they lived in, they couldn't have even imagined the type of stuff, like, that we're doing now as, like, creative entrepreneurs. They would have never imagined that. And they most certainly would have never imagined that we would be able to make a living doing what we actually are following our hearts doing. Because that's what they were saying. Like, following your heart ain't going to get the bills paid. But we are fortunate to live in a world where following your heart, it might not get all your bills paid, but it could get the phone bill. It could get the lights. You know what I mean? And if you keep at it, it can get the bills paid. It can get a house purchased. It can get a car purchased. It can set retirement.
Get mom
it
a house.
We live in a world of influencers. So I just think that's dope. It's just really unfortunate that I feel like, you know, it took us this long for us actually to be seen and appreciated in the world.
Yeah, but I think that also with matriculating through the world and experiencing life and becoming jaded, I know that part of me feeling boxed in is everyone's else expectations of me. It's life experience has gotten me down. Disappointments, sometimes they seem to compound, but then, like you just said, you look at, you know, where you were and where you are now and all of the things you've accomplished, and sometimes you do have to do a little reminder. Sometimes you do got to pat yourself on the back just a little bit and be like, you are the shit, for real. Look at what you've done. And it's important to have that reflection and lead with gratitude. And that's something that in 2024, I really plan to do, because 2023 was tough. And I felt really down about myself, my career. And I'm making these plans and I'm making plans and I'm making plans. Same. And nothing feels right. Nothing feels right. And at the end of the day, my life coach helped me with this a little bit. So shout out to all the life coaches out there, including you, Rob. But, you know, making plans is great. Doing is even better. And being an artist and creating art is something that has to happen regardless, you know? And it's really set me free, because I know one thing I'm going to do is create art. And whether I'm bad at it, whether I'm good at it, whether it turns out amazing or not, which that's art. Sometimes we like it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes people respond to it and sometimes people don't. I'm going to do it anyway. And that's 2024 for that ass. Do it anyway. Happy New Year. Do what makes you happy. Create art and release it.
Yes, yes.
Release that song. Release.
Release your body. Release your soul.
Right.
Yes, come on. Exactly. Forget the rest. Yeah.
So on that note, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful, you know, question to start off 2024. Yeah. So thank you for that, Rob. Yeah. I love
and
that.
To wrap things up, I have one question for you guys before we end our spin the block section. What is one thing that you wish your inner child knew about you? One thing. If you had to give your inner child one piece of advice to kind of calm their anxiety about you, what would you tell that inner child?
I would tell my inner child, listen, but if it don't apply to you, lift you up, make you greater, drop it, leave it where it is, and only take the good and just keep, stay the course, because you got this. You don't need nobody else to tell you. You got this. Take what's smart and move up and leave the rest in the dust.
Word. Okay. Shan?
I would tell my young self that it's okay to be different. You feel different because you are different, but different is good. Different is amazing. And different people have changed the world. Everyone who changed the world, people thought they were crazy. People thought they were quirky. People thought they were different. And that's you. And that means something, because that means you're on this earth for a true purpose, and you're meant to heal people with your art and touch people, touch their hearts. And not to get super sentimental, but it will get hard, and there'll be a time where that becomes murky and unclear. But stay the course, create art, and let it guide you through your life, and you'll be just fine. And also, find people like you. Find quirky people. Find different people. Don't try to fit in. Keep standing out. And that's what I would tell my young self.
Find your tribe. Word. They out Word. There.
Similar. Absolutely.
I would tell my young self, like, if it doesn't fit, it's because you don't fit into it. And that's okay, because it doesn't mean that you don't fit into anywhere. It just means where you are right now, it's not for you. This is just an experience for you to take with you when you create the space that you fit in. So, shout out to us, and I'm so proud of y'all. But let's switch it up. All right, y'all. So thank you so much for, you know, doing our spin the block. As always, you know, it's always meaningful. I felt like this spin the block was real appropriate to the year. And I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing what we grow into for another 10, 20 years or whatever. Not the New York accent coming crazy. Another.
Right.
And you swear you don't have no accent. Thick
that
as,
was
it's
real
thick
crazy.
As hell.
That one.
It's thick as
another?
Hell. That was real crazy.
All right. Not too much on me. But I want to check in. And see how, like, Blake has been doing. It's been a while since we had you back on the show. So what have you been up to, my friend?
It's good to be back. I have been good. It's been a year, but we've come out of it on the other side in a better place. And I can honestly say, I didn't expect for the year to go the way that it went, but as much as I would have liked for it to go differently, I'm glad it went the way that it went, because the prospects for 2024 seem so much brighter. And I don't think the opportunities that are now on the horizon would be coming had it not been for, you know, some of the mud that we kind of trudged through in 2023. I guess what I'm saying is we went through the mud, but we also came out the other side of it with, I don't know.
Yes, in the words of with
refresh, gems. Renewed, like a
Fresh,
mud bath.
Yes.
Refresh and yes. Renewed, new
of,
skin.
Yes.
In the words of Megan Thee Stallion, you might be going through it, but you're gonna get through it.
Hello. Yes.
Look,
hello.
You going through it.
But you gonna get through it. She also says the great Stallion also says bad bitches have bad days too. And I love
the great Stallion.
I live for that. Yes. Stallion the Great says bad bitches have bad days too. You know, I don't listen to a lot of rap, but Megan,
the Book of Stallion.
I can get with Megan because I can relate to her. She is a talented bad bitch. She's a bad woman of color, and she has bad days just like I have bad days.
Man, I think I'm joining the ranks of people that last year kicked my ass.
Drugged. It was ugly. Last year was ugly, bro.
My mental health was like the threat of it all. It gave, you know, when you pull the cheese and it gives that last little itty bitty thread. I was in that for like 6 months. Like, that was for real. But I swung it. I made things happen. I found some stability in my life, transition, and, you know, adapt it, move and shake, make those adjustments. And I ended by December. I felt like I was in a place that I was ready for. I had a foundation that I was ready to build on. Or I realized that I had a foundation I was ready to build on.
I think because we're all at similar places in life, we're all within a year of each other. Blake and I are a couple months apart, and Rob, you're right, you know, right in front of us. And I feel like hitting your mid-30s during a time where there was a global pandemic, where the entire world as we know it changed, then trying to transition into where we were before just isn't a thing because it's a totally new world as we have come out of the pandemic. So it's, you know, if we were building momentum with our career before the pandemic, a lot of times, especially for people like us who are artists, creatives, entrepreneurs, you know, some of those businesses, if not all, really slowed down. And so it changed the trajectory of where millennials are right now. Many of us are nowhere near buying a house. Many of us are really struggling to hang on. So I think that was a common thread with millennials. And I always think it's so interesting. This is fascinating to me. I would love to study more generational psychology, but our collective traumas happen together. And so because we're in the same places in life, there are so many people our age who've had similar, you know, issues with mental health, and not just our age, you know, everyone who has had to transition and change life during and after the pandemic and the aftermath. So it really is like coming out of a 4-year darkness for a lot of people. But like, I feel like 2024, nobody is saying that this is going to be their year this year because we're all kind of scared and a little like shell shocked. But right, I feel right, like collectively, like, don't say minute, it. Don't we don't want to jinx it, but collectively, we all feel like we've come out of something. And I think that's a beautiful thing for us to realize because then we can move forward and we can blossom. The spring of our lives are about to occur. So
that's what's up. Well, with that being said, let's transition into our mental health session for today.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. All I'm offering is the truth. Nothing more.
Okay, so for today's mental health, I really wanted to focus in on a lot of what we just talked about in terms of blossoming into that new beginning and setting that foundation, dealing with some of that imposter syndrome of it all, like feeling, you know what I mean? Like dealing with things like that and taking into account that we actually don't live in a world that's prepared for artists and creatives outside of like economics. Like, the end goal of every type of productivity in today's world is money. So if it can't be profited on, it's not necessarily considered valuable. And there probably was a time like before economy where we all just valued art for art. Like, imagine going to look at a sculpture just to get the inspiration. Like, I know that Blake just painted something at his house. I just want to go and stare at it and then come home and, like, you know what I mean? Just soak that in. It doesn't have anything to do with profitability, anything like that. But that leads us to a space now where it's so important to support creative entrepreneurs. And a lot of people don't understand the psychological stress and struggle that it is to be a creative individual who doesn't necessarily fit into these stereotypical economic boxes and stuff like that. And I know that y'all have definitely had to have been through that, because it's for me, at least, an everyday struggle. Like, I still go back and forth, like, oh, I need to have a plan, a backup plan to go to college and get this type of degree. And every time I circle back and going back to college, I just think, like, if I had $20,000, can you imagine the type of, you know what I could do with that as an investor? If I had an extra $700 a month, you know what I could do with that with business? You know how fast I could turn that into a fortune? And I just keep coming back. And it's like, that was the moments that hit me, like, yo, honestly, I think I'm just an entrepreneur. And so I wanted to kind of like talk to y'all about moments where you struggled with that and people were able to see it. For me, this is so embarrassing. This is like the embarrassing episode. I'm telling all my business. This is crazy. When I was in school, the last time that I had went back to school was for pre-med and nursing and stuff. And then I would be in these, all of the medical sciences classes and stuff like that. And, oh, wow, it's really giving New York accent. That's crazy. I don't know why I'm hearing it today. I think Blake is making me nervous.
Get out of here, bro. But, get out of here, bro. You're in New York, like, now all day, every right day. Now? I just think that you selectively hear it. Yes.
Is it?
You do it all. You're selectively
hearing
it, bro. But
I don't know. But, So I was in school and I would be taking these classes. And when you take medical sciences, everybody has a personal story about their aunt having dealt with this thing and what was tried and stuff. And I remember going to class, and I would be there at 6 o'clock, and I'd be in my head like, yo, like, I could be making money right now. Like, I could definitely be booking choreography gigs and making a lot more money. But I'm like, you know what? I'm giving this person my time. I'm giving this person my money. And so one day I just had enough. I said, excuse me, professor, I don't mean to hold y'all, but what does any of this conversation have to do with our exam? Like, why are we talking about all of these personal stories and stuff like that? I'm not being insensitive, but it costs me a lot of money to sit in this seat in front of you. Not only what I'm paying out of pocket in addition to the loans that I'm paying, but my time. I could be working and making money right now. So if I'm going to sit here, I need you to start teaching at 6. I can't do 30 to 40 minutes of personal talk that has nothing to do with the curriculum. He was so mad, y'all. I used to come at my professors like that, and I just realized, like, something ain't right. Like, maybe. I should have known at that time. Like, maybe. So, that's my story. But when did, like, what was a moment that y'all had actually got just fed up with that psychological stress of having to constantly hold your own world on the shoulder, as well as try to fit into expectations of the world that doesn't necessarily even cater to you?
This year?
We'll start.
I mean, sorry, 2023. Sorry to Bogart, but it just was word vomit. Like, that just happened to me. I think that part of the reason, and you said you're getting personal, but this has been a very personal day. Passport Poppy and I had like a friend therapy session that lasted a couple hours earlier today, and a little yesterday. And it was really cathartic and freeing. And what I realized is half of the reason why my mental health was as such last year is because I really think that I let people's expectations of me get to me, as well as my expectations of me. And I think that financially, being able to stay afloat in this economy and inflation has been hard enough. But then on top of that, you have to make success of your art. And that shit right there, I think, is the dark place that a lot of artists go to, because artists really struggle with being seen and being in the light and being in this very dark place. And there's that push and pull all the time. And I felt that very heavily this past year. So But what I do know is like you said, if my art can create revenue, I'm all for it. If something that I love and that I'm talented at can create revenue, I'm all for it. But it can't be my end all be all because art is also for me. It has to still be personal. So just trying to find that balance is an everyday struggle. It's a balancing act just because you can get burnout, which is what happened to me last year in 2023. I got burnout from dance. And dance is something that I love, but not only was it a hobby in an art form, but also my main form of revenue for a long time. So I did get burnout from that last year, but how I combated that was to tap into other things that I love, to tap into things that make me feel like me again, so that it can do that reset, like reading, you know, getting back into reading books like I love to do, and making sure that I do the things that I consider self-care really helped me get back on track with not feeling jaded and not feeling like my entrepreneurship was in vain, because sometimes it can feel like that, you know, when you aren't where you're supposed to be. But I would never have it any other way, because like I said, the regular people life is not for me. And, preach. You know, you already know we as artists, preach. You know, no shade to any of the homies out there, but most of my homies are artists and entrepreneurs, and everybody else, we call them regular people because it's just different. And I don't think I could be regular if I tried. So that's my spiel and I'm sticking to it.
A word. A word. Okay. I like that. Okay. So Blake, what about you? What was the time that you felt like as an artist or as a creative, you had to kind of like, I guess, like stand up for yourself in a world that wasn't necessarily designed for your ideas and for the success of your identity as a whole?
I think the answer to that question is I had to realize that I was in my own way. I was not allowing myself to grow. I was stunting me. And allowing, you know, the ideas and outside expectations to keep me static and in one place. You know, but coming out of 2023, I came out of 2023 having achieved a new creative professional skill. And that it's something that I never would have ever thought of pursuing. It was something that was presented to me. And I kind of ran with it to see, you know, where it goes. And it's completely opened my creative world and also my professional world up to a new space. And where I felt like I would describe myself as an A and B type of performer, you know, now I'm an A, B, and C type of performer. Or an A, B, C, D, E, and F. You know, I feel like because I was kind of taken against my will and shown, you know, replanted and allowed to thrive in a new space, now it's kind of opened my eyes to what else is inside me that I don't allow to come out. And how I'm my own jailer, you know? It's like you get so caught up in creating this life around the art that you are so passionate about and making a living and trying to thrive and still retain that joy, you know, that sparked it all, but also stay focused on the money. And when your head is to the pavement for so long, it's easy to become disconnected from why, from your art and from why you do your art and what you're doing your art for. And so 2023 allowed me to replant myself and reestablish myself as something different And take myself off of the hamster wheel of trying to keep doing what I already know and what I've been good at, and allow myself the embarrassment and the free will to try something new, good or bad, and see what comes of it, just to shake it up and do things differently.
Yes, sir. I love that.
That was a
Yeah.
beautiful answer. That was a
Yes.
beautiful answer. I love that. Thank you, Passport Poppy.
Yeah. So that's how we wrap up our mental health session. I hope that the listeners take some gems from today's conversation. So Shannon, what do you have for us for the red light district?
Ooh.
I'm cursed. Why is this episode so personal?
Listen, listen.
Come on, what you
I
got to
feel like
hide? What you got to hide?
this is, the first episode of 2024, and I think we all just got done with a lot of
We
reflection.
did.
And it's beautiful to be able to share this with the homies because friend therapy is a real thing, like I said earlier, and
Yes.
all the homies jump into the therapy sesh. Okay, let's get into it.
Y'all get it.
I want to be touched and feel it so much because everybody needs some good loving.
Yellow, if I need it in the morning or the middle of the night,
I have to find the man.
This red light district is going to be really interesting. I really, on the reflection tip, we had been reflecting as a community, when I say a community, a social media community, on this year as a whole and all the things that have happened. And one of the things that sparked my interest and that really sparked a lot of debates online was like the whole battle of the sexes. And like it was knockout, drag out, like girls against boys, very on some hetero shit, on some very like macho shit. We had boy math versus girl math, and that took on a life of itself.
Man.
We had that. Like that took on a life of itself. And it was hilarious because the internet is obviously undefeated, but
A1.
also like, right. But also like, femininity and feminine energy versus masculine energy, and all of these, men and a lot of men with these misogynistic podcasts, which was like a thing and it was a trope in
Uh-oh.
2023 that people really started making
Uh-oh.
fun of. Right, not us, but a lot of men were coming on podcast and noting how, women were too independent and that women were, really in their masculine era. And women kind of came back with that saying, well, we don't have to be in our masculine era if the men would step up and be in their masculine era, right? We can't rest in our feminine until, there's balance.
Y'all
They're
holla at
right,
each other
there's balance.
basket.
So there was a lot of imbalances. There were a lot of imbalances this year and a lot of tipping of the scales. And there was a lot of conversation about money, about worth, about six figures, seven figures, eight figures, and what kind of man, is a woman looking for? What do their finances have to do? So I want to really get into this because one, I know the hetero perspective and the push and pull, but I would love to get a different perspective from the both of you. And I'll start with Rob about dating, the dating climate, because the dating climate of 2023 was
It
hostile,
was.
but
It was
it was
hard.
hostile. But I came out with questions, and one of the questions that I want to know is, how do you navigate dating and the importance of finance in dating? How do you date and how do you pick these people? What are the criteria
Okay.
for you? And how big are finances? How big of a factor do finances play in how you choose the people that you date?
Okay. So first and foremost, before even getting into like the financial aspect of the dating climate, you brought up a really good point, a very important point about the hazing of masculine women. That's an issue. And I want to make that very clear that that's an issue. The measuring of a woman's masculinity against your own masculinity is a marker of you not feeling confident in your masculinity. And that is the case for anybody that you're measuring yourself up to. And if you identify with your masculinity as a man to the degree that you're willing to haze women, then you should be ashamed of yourself for even comparing yourself to a woman. Personally, I am enough of a man and confident in my manhood that I can date masculine women. I'm actually so much of a man that I can date men and still feel like a man. So I will just put that out there as like anytime that we're comparing and competing our qualities against somebody else's, especially if it's of our own doing, that's a reflection of our own insecurity. And if you're not, if you don't feel like a man with a certain type of woman, and just say that, but that has nothing to do with women's presentation of who they are. And the evolution of the assertiveness and the dominance of women within culture comes from them having to fight and overcome so much for so fucking long. Like, if you're put in a situation where nobody's going to speak for you and nobody's going to defend you, you have to be the alpha in your life. What are you supposed to do? You're not just going to keep running over there and take political oppression. And if it wasn't for these quote unquote masculine men, we would have no success in human rights movements. Well, these masculine women, because black women assertive, taking charge, is the reason why there's equality amongst genders and races, period.
Come on. Because they were pulling the strings in the civil rights. They were the puppeteers.
You will not find
of the civil rights.
Human rights movement that was not led by a black woman that some considered masculine.
Can we get into it?
You will not find it. You will not find it. And that goes for some of the privileges and ways that men have had to step themselves up. We've been led by women, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with having a society where women lead. There's not an issue with that. I think that the problem is just that women are doing what men can do because women can do them too. And the problem is that men are only defining their manhood by those things that they can do. Being a man, I'm confident of my presence in someone's life. It doesn't have to be what I'm doing for that person or what I'm doing for myself. I'm confident in my ability to have that influence. So that's the first thing that I wanted to like address. And I remember being heated, but today was just fast. And I remember we sent these voice notes and it was fast. And I was like, okay, it was a fast ass day, but this is going to get talked about today. All right. So that's the first thing. Now, in terms of the finances situation, finances is not a way that I measure my individual masculinity or my ability as a man. I've learned that for me personally, I value earning potential over how much you have. Like, I value the fact that I can get it versus I have it already. So with that being said, it doesn't matter how much my partner makes, whether it's a woman or a man. I do find it attractive when you have a certain like mentality that you have goals and that you're in motion and stuff like that. And honestly, I find that you get to see more of a person's ambition when they have less. You get to see more of their humility. You get to see how they are in under pressure, and to be able to have less and not be on the top, but still open yourself up to dating, period. That takes a lot of strength. And if you're secure in it as well, that's like, I'm impressed by that, because a lot of people who don't have and they jump into the dating world, they're drowning in insecurities that they can't even function enough to be compatible with somebody that they're dating. So if you can stand solid and confident in yourself while you're down on your ass, I find that very attractive. It makes me feel like I can trust and build with you. Sometimes when people just is throwing what they have around, especially if you're just flaunting what you have, that's a red flag for me. Because you have so much that you're nothing. You don't have substance. You don't have you. You don't have, yeah.
It doesn't
you don't
mean,
have character
doesn't
without the things that you have. So that's a red flag for me. So that's how I kind of navigate it. I find that, like we talked about last episode, if y'all didn't go to last episode, make sure you check out last episode because we was telling some things. My approach to dating women and men are pretty much the same, and that approach sets a person, like, it sets a tone for the chemistry. Cheat code, like, if you value your masculinity as a man, you should be able to set tone. And I set a certain tone that kind of welcomes a safe space for us to exchange and have that type of conversation. With a guy, I'm not going to just walk up to him and kiss his hand. I'm definitely going to give him a handshake, because you don't necessarily know who feels comfortable with that type of thing. But I'm looking for the way that your mind works. I'm looking for the way that you see the world. I'm looking for your values. I'm looking for your ethics. And everything else, I feel like, can come later. You know what I mean? I do want to feel like I can be supportive. I don't want to feel like, as a man, I'm like dependent on my partner. But I'm starting to grow up and grow out of that and start to think about what like a partnership looks like and how dependencies can be a part of that in a healthy way. It's like try to jump out of the narrative. Like, I have to be independent. I have to be paying for everything. I have to be supplying everything. Building with somebody requires vulnerability. And when we want to control everything, that's usually because we're scared of vulnerability. We're scared of like what might happen if we're not in control. And so I'm realizing that kind of giving up that control allows me to be more of myself in relationships. So, yeah, I know that was a situation. I went on a tangent right there, but I said
there were so many points. You wanna speak next, Blake?
I do, because you know I'm coming from the perspective of, you know, I kind of just removed myself from the dating pool. After my last relationship dissolved at around, I want to say, 23, 24, I decided to hang my heart up on a shelf and do my own thing. And that's been all good and well, but here we are at 34. And now the idea of a relationship is more prevalent, you know. I want a partner, but I want someone who the things that I look for in that partner have changed, you know, because of life. What I look for, what I was looking for, what I thought I was looking for, I wasn't even getting, but it wasn't even really what I wanted. And so now I feel like I want to open myself back up. And by that, I mean, you know, we talk about the expectations, I guess, and y'all can maybe, I don't know, help me gain some clarity on this, but I apply the same expectations to my partner, to myself. And to be fully transparent, you know, I'm looking for a man. And so my expectations are the same expectations I guess I have for me as a man, you know, as far as finances, as far as relationship goals, being goal oriented, lifestyle. I'm definitely looking for a person who is in alignment with those things. But if I'm being 100% honest, I feel like because I don't necessarily meet all the qualifications for my partner and myself, I have taken myself off the market, because how can I expect someone to give what I don't even have, if that makes sense? Yeah. You know?
You want to be prepared for that.
And
person,
so,
I want,
yes, I want to be prepared. I want to be able
what
to,
type of partner was that,
yes,
person going to want? Like, what are they going to want from you? You know?
And I want to be able to actively, presently, fully love and give that energy to somebody wholeheartedly. I don't want to be distracted because something in my life is not together. I mean, nothing in life is ever going to be together. And I say that as well. I'm only getting older, and I'm seeking perfection that is never going to be achieved, I'm coming to realize. And so there needs to be, I need to open up more space in my life to allow other people to just kind of come into my life, but allow myself to be in a place that is receiving of love. And I don't know if y'all can relate to this, but sometimes you almost don't, because you're so focused on creating the life that you want to lead, you, when you fall short of your own expectations or when you're not where you want to be in life, you sort of find yourself just keep chucking along and pushing that other thing to the side. Does that make sense? And so I guess where I'm at in my journey with love is I'm trying to let go of older expectations so that I can allow myself to be in a place to receive the love that I want.
I like that.
I think that that's a really good answer. And that's the best answer you can give for the place that you are. I think that it's extremely mature of you. And the three of us are in three different places, and you're about to hear my perspective, but I think that Rob, first and foremost, this is like my love letter to both of you, but Rob, I always thought when it came to dating and understanding relationships and what you look for in a partner, I always thought you were more evolved than the average person. So I just wanted to mention that because a lot of what you said really resonated with me. And like I said, Blake, I think it's extremely, it shows a lot of growth that you can realize where you are, know that you're not ready to give what you're looking for in somebody. You're not really willing and ready to give that yet, but leaving yourself open to possibilities is just still the most important thing, because I feel like one thing that I always get from Rob is that you meet people where they are, essentially. And I think that that is something that really matters and is something that I strive for when I date. But there are several different issues. And I think one of the things that I talked about maybe prior is my mother always instilled in me to be an independent woman. And my mom's been married since 1975, just so that you all know, that's the tea. She's actually been married for almost 50 years. But she also, in her own right, is independent. And she wanted me to have my own. So that's programmed into me. When it comes to dating and the climate right now and the fact that it's kind of hostile, I think that And this conversation is one of the conversations I had with one of my straight male best friends. And he was getting up in arms about girls talking about ancient men on the internet and different stuff like that. And, you know, men who aren't worth a damn and men who don't make a certain amount. And he was getting really triggered. And I noted to him that, you know, well, there's a reason why this is triggering you and you might want to explore that. And it led me to really realize that, like you said, Rob, a lot of men right now are feeling a type of way because a lot of women are healing themselves. A lot of women are being their own person, being that person for themselves, because they're tired of putting that expectation on other people. They're maybe tired of being disappointed. They're maybe tired of a lot of different things. And I feel that. So I had dating burnout, but it's difficult because one of the things that you said, Rob, that resonated with me was that I am somebody who doesn't care about finances as the end all be all. Like, I have dated the occasional broke nigga, and I'm not ashamed to say that.
Broke niggas be left too.
They really do. I have, look, you remember old girl from New Year's Eve on CNN, No More Broke Dick? I definitely, after that, had more broke dick because it be the best dick. But what and I will say is
thugs need hugs.
Right. But what I also will say is that I found, though, that I don't mind if you don't make as much money as me, or I don't mind if right now in your journey you are down and out, or because that happens to everyone. Everyone has that moment, but I have not been able to meet a man yet who has been in a moment where they're not financially secure. I haven't met a man who is okay with where they are. Like you said, it comes with a lot of insecurities.
Yes.
And that has put a damper on a lot of the situations that maybe could have been beautiful, because I try to see people and meet them where they are. But one of the situations that I maybe found most recently, I wasn't dating this person just because simply we couldn't date because where they were in their life. But I was very much so okay with showing them love. And it was my, I think, purpose to, like you said, Rob, let them know that they are worthy of love. And like you said, Blake, sometimes you take yourself off the market and you have to remind yourself that you're also worthy of love. Yes, and I think that a lot of men right now
don't feel
that they are worthy of love, and they're projecting on, you know, whoever they date, whether that's men, whether that's women, that they're also not good enough. And what are you bringing to the table? Because they're deflecting off of what they're bringing on the table to the table. But if I could find a person who is working on themselves, that practices introspection, that you know, maybe journals, meditates, prays, someone who stays in the present, and they don't happen to have a lot of money, that's okay, because we can build together. We can grow together. But I found that the insecurities really put a block on me being able to date freely in that way. And then on the other side of the coin, I feel now forced to be like, okay, well, what do they do for a living? Because now I need to veto these people. And I hate feeling like I have to do that. But I do feel like sometimes, and I love artists, sometimes the insecurities are so loud that they project onto you. Sometimes it shifts into something that's unhealthy,
if
something
you don't
that's
say
toxic.
That louder for the people in the motherfucking back. Girl,
yes,
like
yes.
It shifts into something that's toxic, yes. And a beautiful connection, as beautiful as it may be, because a connection is just that. A connection is a connection. There doesn't have to be a rhyme or reason. Your souls recognize each other. But when one or more of the people are in a toxic place, or like you said before, when they're in survival mode, there's no way that they can even see themselves deserving of love, let alone opening up themselves to receive it. And that was my latest, newest type of heartbreak, when someone won't allow you to show them love or love them. That can also be a really hurtful place. But realizing the opposite end of the spectrum and trying to put myself in their shoes has been something that's helped me grow, and that's helped me realize that sometimes you're the villain in other people's stories, but if it helps them grow, I'll be that. And vice versa, because there were some villains in my story too, but where would I be without that growth that it forced me? It forced growth in me that I can't say that I would ever want to give back. So that's why I can't regret it. But that's where I am in dating right now. And it leaves me in a weird space, because I feel like I'm not yet ready to put myself out there just yet.
Bro, you are not alone.
But I feel like that moment's coming. But
I'm not ready to step out yet, but I know that one day I will be, because I'm a nigga who is worthy of love. And regardless of where I'm at right now, I'm still worthy of love. And so are all of you. And life is going to, if 2023 taught us anything, life is going to life. And it's going to keep lifing. And when you thought she was going to get a break, she's going to double down and life you some more. So she's not taking any rest or any breaks.
What's on next?
It's only gonna keep coming. So it's like I'm gonna have to just accept that it's gonna be what it's be. And if I want to get a plate of this love buffet, I'm gonna need to go ahead and grab it and get it where I fit in because if I keep waiting, it's just gonna pass me by. You know?
Have y'all ever had this feeling that like the love of your life is already in your life, you just don't realize it? Have y'all ever had that feeling like you kind of already know the person that you're meant to be with, but y'all not checking for each other though?
I always thought it could be a possibility, but I don't know if that's because I watch a lot of TV and movies and it's like, oh, you were right there the whole time. Like, I don't know how often that happens in real life, but honestly, really and truly, some of the most random relationships that I've had in the past came out of nowhere. And there were people that I did, in fact, already know. And maybe at the time we weren't checking for each other, but things changed, or maybe we kind of were, but we're in situations. So it's kind of happened before, but I'm not sure. I'm just looking around my space and ain't no motherfucking way that the person that I was supposed to be with, I already know, because absolutely not. Like, no, like, I just don't think, maybe we've already met, but I don't know them. I can definitely say that. No, absolutely not. Because there's nobody that I know. And also, it's who I put myself around. Honestly, I'm not even around a lot of straight men. So that's one of the issues. And that's one of the things, you know, closing up this segment, that moving forward in 2024, I'm putting myself in more spaces. There was a video that I watched on Instagram, and the guy was like, she's bad as hell, but she don't step out the door. How you gonna find love if you just put a fingertip out of the door? If you just take one toe, dip one toe out of the door, then you might meet the man of your dreams, but he can't come find you if you under your sheets at your house by yourself. So I have been putting myself in more spaces, and people I like online and things that I enjoy doing. I'm starting to do those and going to do those solo again. I used to do those things before the pandemic and things changed. And now I'm opening myself to new spaces to make new connections. And that's all I can say about that. Rob, do you have any final words for the Red Light District?
Yes, I do. I will say that there are people that love strong, and there are people that love with hesitation. And a lot of times those strong people who love meet those hesitant lovers. They're willing to like stand there and wait and show that person that it's safe to love in this space. But let's not forget that warriors need love too. And I would say that in general, instead of like shunning people for being strong and strong-minded and strong-willed, we need to love and appreciate them for that.
Especially if
we feel like their level of strength is surpassing ours, we should be blessed for having that level of stability in our lives. Instead of like shunning masculine women, if you're a man that has found yourself attracted to a masculine woman, is probably a reason for that. You probably need a little bit of that. So appreciate it instead of like pushing it away, because yo ass
the beautiful thing about women having first of all, if you are a man and you are listening to this, I hope you are able to, in your mind or in your immediate surrounding, look around and identify at least one or two good women who you know in your life right now, and recognize them and hear them. Because right now I'm living in a post, my father has passed away. And so there's a lot of female guidance and a lot of female support and a lot of female love in my life. And I was taught a lot of things by my father that helped make me the man that I am today. There's still another half of it that came from my mother and countless other females around me that made me the man that I am today. And it's the female perspective. As men, we think a certain way, so we approach things a certain way. But women ain't about that. They approach it from a completely different angle. And a lot of times that perspective is not even a foresight in any man's brain, you know? And so I say that to say, we as men can get caught up in just the way that men do things, because that's what men do and men are men. But having had some very smart and powerful females in my life, I'm grateful to them, because I have had an idea and go to make an action so strongly and with conviction. And they've been there to be like, well, wait a minute. Did you think about, or did you take the time to? And a lot of times I hadn't. And it's like, well, before you press the gas, before you pull the trigger, let's go back into the drawing board and just work out a couple things before we hit the green light. You know what I'm saying? So I say all this to say, women are an anomaly, but inherently, I don't know, good isn't the right word. But if you are a man in this world and you don't have any sort of feminine energy around you that is positive and uplifting, assess yourself, open yourself up, talk to the girls, get to know the girls. Because they having a female in your life, whether you're gay or straight, it's a game changer. Like you said, civil rights movement. The men, Martin Luther King may have been the head, but his wife and the whole movement. Army of other women and the LGBT, yeah, there was a whole bunch of females who led that whole operation silently and diligently. So yeah, that's my little tidbit.
Yeah, grateful to the females. Absolutely. And I think that to really close it out, what both of you are saying is, it's really important to have balance. And like you said, Rob, if you find yourself attracted to a certain type of woman or a certain type of man, it might be what you're lacking in your life at the moment. And one thing about relationships is that they're ever changing and they can always shift. And your relationship, and they evolved, and there are seasons for everything. And while you might be with a woman who's in her masculine right now and is a boss and all these other things, there might be a moment where the tables turn and now you're in your masculine and you're a boss, and she's able to rest in her feminine and be soft and be creative and be nurturing. And we need the opportunity as women to do that too. And I think that for me, finding that balance as an independent woman is hard. And even, like I said, if a man can't provide for me, there are so many other things that a man would be able to do for me. And one of those things is that feeling of safety. And that feeling of safety isn't always financial. That feeling of safety so that I can rest and so that I can create and sometimes just exist in my beauty and things of that nature. When I'm working really hard and trying to make ends meet, sometimes I can't always do that. But if I had a partner who, after I got home from work or after I was done doing whatever I was doing or even during, was just supporting me with love and care and attention in a certain way, that would be okay with me. I don't need, like Ariana said, don't put the bands on me. I don't need that. My love is free. Yes. And on that note, yes, y'all, we're going to wrap up this first episode of 2024. This was beautiful. Was. Thank you, Passport Poppy, for coming out.
Also, let us know.
Thanks, y'all.
Blake, let the people know where they can find you on all the social medias.
Absolutely, absolutely. Please, please, please check me out on Instagram. That's my most prominent platform, at The Real Blake Terrell, T-E-R-R-E-L-L. And you can find me on the Facebook, The Book of Faces, under Blake Murray, or Blake Terrell. And this is like, y'all have no idea, this put a sense of clarity about a lot of little different things in my life. That I feel a sense of release and ease about moving and hopefulness, actually optimism. Good. Moving as we move into this new year. Yeah.
Good.
This was necessary.
Well, we loved this having you on. We loved having you on. Thank you for being here. You guys could check out The Bridge Millennials on all your streaming platforms. Hit us up on Instagram at The Bridge Millennials. And we're also online at thebridgemillennials.com. Let us know what you thought of today's episode. Shannon, where can the people find you if they're looking for you? If they want to slide in your DM.
Yes. If you're looking for me, if you want to slide in my DMs, be warned, I might not answer. But you can find me at I am Shannon Ashlia, Shannon Ashlia. And she has a new account, everyone. The fans have been asking. The people want to see it. Uh-oh. So I do now have a fashion account where you can go and get a little bit more detail about the clothes that I'm wearing, where I got them from, my day-to-day outfits. And that page is Eclectric Pop. So it's like eclectic and electric together. Eclectric Pop, P-O-P. Okay, for the pop of color that you're always going to get from me. And that's where you're going to find my new fashion page. So please follow me so I can get my followers
get it,
up, y'all.
Get it, get it.
Yes.
And if y'all are looking for me on Instagram at Robert St. Michael, spell the whole thing out, S-A-I-N-T. You can check out my projects and stuff like that. I'm trying to be a little bit more bloggy this year, do a little bit more fun things and stuff like that. If you're into mental health podcasts, you can check out my show, The Group Sessions. And if you're looking to book some life coaching or mental health coaching sessions, I'm at robertstmichael.com and you could do a free consultation. I will tell y'all my prices is about to go up in February. So if you want to lock them in, you know what I'm saying? You better get it now. But yeah, thank y'all for
yesterday's price is not today's price.
No, it's not. It's really not. But yeah, thank y'all for being here. Thank you for listening. And until next time, toes actually are meant to be sucked.
Wow.
Yes.
And I 100% agree. Ooh, it's been too long. All right. On that note, y'all. See you later. Peace.